Welcome, retreatants. This is our seven-day journey with Thomas Merton. It's day one of that journey, and today we'll come in two parts, part A and part B, let's call them. And this is part A, and I hope you're able to be in a quiet place, maybe in your car, maybe in your closet. Maybe you've created a little sacred space to listen to these 14 devotions this week and just give yourself a chance to embrace a new way of maybe thinking about God or seeing God or being with God. Now, this retreat is based on a monk who lived in the Abbey of Gethsemane just south of Bardstown, Kentucky. Died in 1968, and we're going to let you just kind of soak in the retreat without going into too much detail about Thomas Merton. And then at the end of the retreat, we're contemplating getting together and showing a film of Merton's life. It's about a 60-minute video, and maybe debrief a little bit about this week. So you have that to look forward to. Now, I'll say one thing before we begin today and begin this week. Thomas Merton is not necessarily easy. It's challenging, the way he thinks and the way he writes, but he's known to be a writer who can put things into words in ways that other writers just can't do. Things about God and about our spiritual life and about, probably most importantly, who we are. What is our true self, as Merton calls it? And why do we keep living into our false self so much? And what that does to us, and the opportunity we have to move from false self to true self. But again, let's not worry about any of that. Here's what I'll say. For many people, the first time they hear Thomas Merton, they're lost. It takes a little while to connect. So give yourself a break. The second time they hear him, they're bewildered. This is all so new, and it seems like so much. The third time, they might get frustrated a little, waiting for the breakthrough, an epiphany, some kind of understanding. But usually by the fourth time, it starts to sink in. And if it starts to sink in, watch out, because Merton can come and grab you by your heart and open up a whole new world for you and your relationship with Christ. So let's just put that aside. Let's have no expectations going forward, none at all. Let's just open our hearts, ask the Holy Spirit to be with us, to lead us and guide us, to open the ears of our hearts, and let's listen. A seven-day journey. Day one, the call. Part A. This is a time apart, a time to be alone with yourself and with God. We give this to ourselves as a gift, but it's also a necessity, because we recognize that this is something that we need for ourselves, that we want to make a priority in our life, at this moment. This is a time to acknowledge our total and utter dependence on God, our need for Him, our great longing for Him. This is a time to affirm ourselves before God, to find nurturing and recreation, so that with His grace, you may deepen your inner resources. We are coming apart in order that we may find again and strengthen that person whom we most deeply and truly are before God. What we are setting out to do is risky. An encounter with ourself and with God. We may meet our real self we may meet the true God. Perhaps we have been running away from both. So now we commend this undertaking to God and pray that with His grace and with the support and insight that we shall gain from the words of Thomas Merton, a fellow pilgrim on this journey, this may be the time for the deepening of love, faith, and prayer. A prayer by Thomas Merton. O Lord God, I have no idea where I am going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end. Nor do I really know myself. And that fact, that I think I am following your will, does not mean that I am actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope I have that desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire to please you, God. And I know that if I do this, then you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, I will trust you always, though I may seem to be lost, and even in the shadow of death, I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to make my journey alone. Let us ask this question. Who am I before God at this point in my life? Who am I before God at this point in my life? At the start of this time, I present myself before God with empty hands. I recognize my own nothingness and my complete dependence on Him. Even the urge to make this retreat comes from God. And yet, at the same time, I acknowledge the fullness and the riches that I am bringing, so that simultaneously I rejoice in my own humanity. I stop and I look at myself. These hands of mine that I hold out before Him, so worn and used, are hands made by God to do His work in the world. The whole of myself made to be part of His world. I am overawed to think of the person that I am, that unique person, so lovingly created by God in all the fullness and riches of my own individuality, a person made to be God's daughter or God's son. From Psalm 139. O Lord, you search me and you know me. You know my resting and my rising. You discern my purpose from afar. You mark when I walk or lie down. All my ways lie open to you. Before ever a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it, through and through. Behind and before me, you besiege me, your hand ever laid upon me. For it was you who created my being and knit me together in my mother's womb. I thank you for the wonder of my being, for the wonders of all your creation. Why are we embarking on this journey together? We are embarking on this journey because we have heard a call. We are called by name, by our own names, to live out our calling, to be ourselves. Not for our own sake, but for the sake of God, who is our Creator. Let us pray that we may hear God, the Word, in the depths of our being. This asks of us total stillness in God's presence, that we may listen and that we may hear that call. Words of Thomas Merton. Contemplation is also the response to a call. A call from Him who has no voice and yet who speaks in everything that is. And who, most of all, speaks in the depths of our own being. For we ourselves are words of His. But we are words that are meant to respond to Him, to answer Him, to echo Him, and even in some way to contain Him and signify Him. Contemplation is this echo. It is a deep resonance in the inmost center of our spirit, in which our very life loses its separate voice and resounds with the majesty and the mercy of the hidden and living God. As Thomas Merton describes contemplation, he shows it to me as a part of life, realistic, accessible. He tells me that it is the natural life in me that has been completed, elevated, transformed, and fulfilled in Christ by the Holy Spirit. Merton says, contemplation is the awareness and realization, even in some sense, the experience of what each Christian obscurely believes. It is now no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. The one thing that this asks of us is our time. So let us try not to strive and not to lay any huge burdens or expectations upon ourselves. Merton was always so insistent that everything is given already, and that all we need is simply to experience what we already have. Now, I realize that the start must be simply to stay still, to accept ourselves where we find ourselves, to be open to this moment, the present. Let us put aside all demanding techniques and technology, and let us listen to what Thomas Merton tells us with such loving gentleness. He says this: in technology, you have this horizontal progress where you must start at one point and then move to another and then move to another. But that is not the way to build a life of prayer. In prayer, we discover what we already have. We start where we are, and we deepen what we already have. And then we realize that we are already there. We already have everything, but we don't know it, and we don't experience it. Everything has been given to us in Christ. All we need is to experience what we already possess. So, retreatants, let us recognize that the starting point for our 7-day journey is that we are here. That here is where we will get the answers. It sets the boundaries of what we are doing. We are being asked to go deeper into ourselves. It is time to stop running in all the different directions which have seemed so attractive, and instead take time just to be. We'll close part A with these words again from Thomas Merton. If we really want prayer, we'll have to give it time. We must slow down to a human tempo, and we'll begin to have time to listen. And as soon as we listen to what's going on, things will begin to take shape by themselves. But for this to happen, we have to experience time in a new way. The reason why we don't take time is a feeling that we have to keep moving. This is a real sickness. Today, time is a commodity. And for each one of us, time is mortgaged. We must approach the whole idea of time in a new way. We live in the fullness of time. Every moment is God's own good time, His kairos. The whole thing boils down to giving ourselves in prayer a chance to realize that we have what we seek. We don't have to rush after it. It is there all the time. And if we give it time, it will make itself known to us. This concludes part A of day one of our 7-day journey, the call. Amen.